Hey everybody, how's it going? It is Tom. It is the Information's 411, and it is Friday. Hope you've all had a relaxing and virus-free week. Here's what we've got on tap for you today. I am talking to Kevin McLaughlin about Microsoft and why the company has had issues, a couple of snafus, I don't know the right word would be, technical problems, servicing some of its customers, both during the surge of usage during the pandemic and before it. It's an interesting story that both explains some of the challenges that Microsoft has had as it tries to make inroads in the cloud computing market, coming up pretty fierce competition with Amazon and also Google, but also just the challenges of running an extremely important cloud service provider at a time where that service itself is extremely valuable. All right, that's today's episode. Fairly quick, but it's been a busy week. A lot coming from us in the next couple of days, so look out for that. And apologies, by the way, for no midweek episode. It was Passover, and I just didn't do it. But you'll be fine. We're doubling the output anyway, so you really can't complain. All right, that's my intro. Let's get to the episode with Kevin. All right, Kevin, full disclosure before we get into this conversation, my kid just woke up from his nap. It sounds like you've got two kids over there that could be entering this conversation at any moment. So that's our warning to our listeners before we get into this thing.
It makes it exciting. My daughter's about to wake up too, but I like living dangerously, so let's do this.
Yeah, no, just all of it is living on the edge. So let's talk about Microsoft. Before we even get specifically actually into the specifics of your story about Azure, what has this period been like for cloud service providers while everybody or a huge portion of the workforce is working from home?
Yeah, so there's been obviously been a huge surge of a huge shift of companies sending everyone home. Everyone's working from home. Internet traffic patterns have changed. And really, in Microsoft's case, a huge increase in traffic to one product in particular, which is Teams, which is its answer to Slack and in some ways Zoom in the collaboration space. So yeah, there's definitely been, for all the cloud providers, additional traffic, more usage, and changing patterns of that usage.
Yeah. We should maybe do another episode where we talk about Teams, because I found that to be an interesting conversation with a lot of my sources the last few days, the number of them that are using Teams. Curious how that product is holding up. But this was about Azure. So what exactly is the chief complaint that a lot of Azure or some Azure customers that you've spoken to have had about the quality of their service?
So the customers we spoke with, which included companies like Adobe, Walmart, Chevron, and then smaller companies as well, basically the most common thing that's happening is you go to the cloud and you want to get access or launch a new cloud server, which is sort of the fundamental building block of most things that companies do online, building applications, launching applications. And then you can't get access to the cloud server. It tells you that none are available at the moment. Sometimes you have to wait a few minutes. Sometimes it's a couple of hours. There have been cases where it's been longer than that. And so there have been media reports as well, stemming from around March 16th when everyone began working from home, at least on the West Coast. There have been reports here in the U.S. as well as in Europe of this happening. So it's no secret. I mean, it's definitely an issue that's well documented. One thing I will note, though, is that Microsoft seems to be dealing with it more than AWS or Google have.
When you say hours, I mean, that seems to me, I mean, that's devastating. If you're trying to perform some sort of function and you can't give someone service for that length of period of time, I mean, that seems almost like non-workable, right?
Yes. So it's important to note that Microsoft and other providers usually have a large array of different cloud servers, different configurations. Some are optimized to do certain things like graphics processing. And so I think, if you're flexible in your application, if it doesn't matter, I think in some cases the companies can, if they can't get the one they want, the cloud server they want, they can use a different one. So it might not be a huge deal. I think it's another thing I wanted to mention about our story today is that This is very much of an annoyance as opposed to something that is taking down businesses or preventing companies from doing business. An outage where services are inaccessible for mass numbers of users is something that's way more serious from a cloud perspective. So I wanted to make that clear that you know what's happening with Azure is more on the annoyance level than
right.
you know a big huge disaster.
Fair enough. It's such a competitive landscape. I mean, how much does this end up helping you know the people that have been trying to court the big customers that Microsoft has?
Yes. So, I mean, there's no question that this is not a good look for Microsoft and Azure, especially now, given that they won a big $10 billion cloud deal with the Pentagon last October, which is now being challenged by Amazon and is sort of up in the air at the moment. But Microsoft, one of the things that they have perhaps more than other cloud providers is Fortune 500 customers. Now, I'm not saying that I don't know the numbers offhand, so this might not be the case, but certainly Microsoft has a lot of very longstanding relationships with Fortune 500 customers. They've managed to attract a lot of those companies to the Azure cloud. And so when you're a customer and you're dealing with these issues, like I said, what's happening now is not like you're saying, oh, well, I'm done with Azure. I'm not going to use it anymore. But you are saying, well, wait a minute. How is the number two cloud provider? How does this happen? Why is this an issue for them? And more importantly, why aren't they we talked to customers who were not given a very detailed explanation about why it's happening. And so it is a bit of a mystery beyond the fact that Microsoft is growing quickly, and growing quickly will sometimes result in issues like these. Customers really don't know what's going on. And so I think that's the big risk for Microsoft
right.
is that they need to quickly fix this problem and then do a detailed postmortem saying, hey, here's what happened. It's not going to happen again
right.
because it is definitely not
right.
a small issue either.
Right. So what's, I mean, where do things stand with Microsoft then in addressing these problems?
Well, they say they're racing to add capacity in the most recent public communication, which was in late March. They're racing to add capacity, which means adding more servers to the data centers that run Azure around the world. They didn't provide a time frame for when that's going to happen. It's obviously being complicated by, you mentioned Teams before. Teams is an application that runs on Azure, and it's probably one of the most accessed applications that runs on Azure. And so the more usage that product gets, obviously Microsoft wants that, but at the same time, it also complicates matters when you're having problems serving capacity to your other customers as well. So what we did here in some cases is that when large customers had a shortage of cloud servers and they couldn't get them, Microsoft will react very quickly and move its own computing jobs around to free up the space for the large customers. But that takes a lot of work and obviously the teams at Microsoft are scrambling to do this. It's not something you want to have be like a steady state
sure.
kind of thing. You want to figure out the problem and fix it soon. So, you know, I would expect by the end of April or perhaps even before that, that we will have some sort of detailed explanation and Microsoft will come out and say, look, we fixed it.
Right. I know this wasn't contained directly in your story, but one of the biggest coups that happened in the cloud computing world a couple of weeks ago was when Microsoft won the contract with the Department of Defense over AWS. Is there anything about this issue that you're describing in the story that, you know, could in any way impact that that deal?
I don't think so. The Pentagon would not be using the same data centers as the consumer Azure customers use. They would have their own separate infrastructure that, you know, servers and storage and all that. So, this wouldn't necessarily translate to problems for a customer like the Pentagon. But again, it's all about image and it's about perception. And at this early stage of the cloud market, I mean, it's easy to forget, but we are still at a very early stage in cloud computing where many companies are still trying to figure out how they're going to embrace it and adopt it. Issues like these are certainly something that will enter into the conversations at these companies and perhaps even at the Pentagon. I don't think it's a deal breaker for most companies, but as I said before, it's not a good thing either.
Right, right. Lastly, this again also isn't about your story, but it's something that's just been bugging me or wanted to know more about in the Microsoft world. What's the story with Skype? Now, we're having this conversation on Skype, but this has clearly been a moment, mostly for better, sometimes for worse, for Zoom. Any people over at Microsoft talking about where Skype fits into this work from home moment we're all in?
I am really sorry. I actually couldn't hear any of that question.
Oh, really?
I'm not being funny.
Okay.
You were breaking up. It could just be internet traffic.
The hilarious thing that I was asking about is what's the deal with Skype these days? And we're having this conversation on Skype. So the fact that you couldn't hear it isn't a great thing. I mean, anything about Skype that figures into these Azure stories?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's surely getting a lot more usage than it was, you know, pre-COVID outbreak in the U.S. And anytime you have an internet service that gets a flood of new users, it's going to create strain and it's going to affect the service quality, at least, in temporary incidents. And so I don't know if that's the cause of what you're describing with Skype.
the cause of us not being able to hear each other a moment ago.
There are a lot of factors that could contribute to our conversation being interrupted that don't involve Skype.
But, right, like having a 19-month-old walk into the room.
Yeah, but like I said before, I think that Microsoft certainly has the wherewithal to fix a problem like this, and I expect them to do so fairly quickly.
Gotcha. All right, Kevin. Well, good stuff. Interesting to see how this all shapes up going forward as the work-from-home period extends further and further. All right, okay. Good luck, man.
Thanks, Tom. Have a good one.
Okay, bye.